Of the Bible that I want to read from this evening, if that's okay with you guys. This is called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's amazing. I told you guys a few weeks ago, in my house, most of the books I've been reading lately are about 10 pages long. This one's a little bit longer, a little bit more depth, and so it's become one of my favorites. I want to find this story here. There we go. It's called God's Wonderful Surprise, and I'm going to read it for you guys in just a minute. You know, when we think about Easter, I don't know what comes to mind for you, but for me, it's among other things, just this thought of new beginnings, and with new beginnings, new possibilities, and other thoughts come to mind, like getting to fish again. I'm not from Minnesota, so I don't ice fish. So the water actually has to thaw, and then I'll go fish again. I don't know what it is for you, but there's an exciting air to this time of the year. This is my favorite time of the year by far. And as the seasons change, I think it reflects perfectly what we're in the middle of in the story that we are revisiting tonight, of new life, of things coming out of the ground where it appeared nothing was. And that's what Easter is about, and that's what the resurrection is about. And so we get to revisit that tonight, and as we do, I hope it's a reminder for every one of us that God is doing something good and something new and something life-bearing in you. And Jesus is at the center of that. Jesus is that life. Anything good that we have, it actually flows from heaven, from the Father himself. Jesus came from the Father, came here to show us what life looks like. And so I want to read this, God's Wonderful Surprise. It's told in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, Mark's in chapter 16, Luke's in chapter 24, and John's in chapter 20. It was kind of important. We're going to read about the resurrection. And I picked this, actually brought this tonight originally in case they wanted to read it in the nursery. And but I was reminded of this story. I've been going through this with my son Jonathan, and we're still hanging out in the Old Testament currently. But I read this recently, and what was so powerful for me was just kind of a glimpse into what it might have felt like for someone like Mary, who had been so close to Jesus, and then only to lose him, only to discover that she didn't lose him. And so I want to read this, and it really gives a glimpse into what it might have been like for her, and I hope there are some things there that will resonate with us. God's Wonderful Surprise. Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Wasn't Jesus the rescuer, the king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path through the olive groves until they reached the tomb and immediately noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark. But wait, Jesus' body was gone. They decided to do this long page. I should show you the illustrations. Why should I keep them all to myself? They're awesome. This is an angel, by the way. It says, and something else, a shining man was there with clothes made from lightning. Don't be scared, the angel said. But they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, what are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people. The women couldn't speak. Jesus isn't dead anymore, he said. He's alive again. And their hearts leapt. And then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment as if they had woken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then Mary heard someone else in the garden. Perhaps it's the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus' body is. I don't know where Jesus is, Mary said urgently. I can't find him. But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was, and he had found her. Mary. Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was dreaming. But she wasn't dreaming. She was seeing Jesus. Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs shook her whole body. And all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and to never let go of him. You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary, Jesus said gently, and always be close to me. But now go and tell the others that I'm alive. Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She had never run so fast or so far in all her life. She felt she could have run forever. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. The sun seemed to be dancing and gleaming and bounding across the sky, racing with her and shining brighter than she could ever remember the clear, fresh air. And it seemed to her that morning as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew. Almost as if the whole world was singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was God really making everything sad come untrue? Was he making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell Jesus' friends. They won't believe it, she laughed. She was right, of course. Man, we could just go on. This is kind of fun. there's no shame if you want to borrow. I've got a couple of copies, so. Isn't that powerful? I was reading that story this morning from John's Gospel, and I think what struck me was, as much as anything, just the fact that here was Mary that morning, before the sun even came up, she was headed to the tomb. She wanted to be where Jesus was. Even if it was just his dead body, she wanted to be where Jesus was. And because of that, she was so distraught when she got there, only to find that he wasn't there, because she thought they've taken the last thing that we have, the last thing that connects us to the memory of his life. But it wasn't true, right? And I just think that's so powerful. Here was Mary saying, If he's dead, I will be with him even as he's dead. That's how much she loved Jesus. That's how much she wanted to still be with Jesus. And it's just powerful to think that, obviously, that's not where the story ends. And because of that, she will be. And I think in that way, just thinking about this moment that we celebrate and the truth behind it, that it's just the beginning. For some people, Easter is all there is. And I don't mean that in, like, it's at the center of their universe. This is the day you come and you remember this, and then you go on with the rest of your life. But for Mary and for us, for those that would follow Jesus, this is at the middle of our lives. And in that way, the resurrection, it's not the pinnacle. It's actually just the beginning of the work that God was bringing forth into the world. I mean, it's pretty up there, but it's continuing to go up even further, if you can imagine. And so we don't come down from the resurrection. We come up to the resurrection, and we continue with God. Are you with me? And that's what Mary found out this day because of the resurrection. This is only the beginning of your life with me. And for those of us who today celebrate the truth that Jesus is risen, that truth in your life means it's only the beginning of what he's doing. It's amazing. And what that means is right now, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever has happened, whatever hasn't happened, there's still more, and it's good. Because Jesus is alive, your hope can be alive. Because Jesus is alive, your future has potential. Because Jesus is alive, there's something to look forward to. Because he's alive, you can rejoice right now. It's just the beginning in the best way possible. It's a pretty great beginning. But it's just the beginning. I want to read from this other book here. Less colorful, equally powerful, definitely less pictures. I want to read from Philippians 4. I wasn't sure how I was going to fit this in today, to be honest. And if you've been with us these last weeks, you know we've been journeying through the book of Philippians. And it felt weird to think about getting to chapter 4 and just quitting. I thought we should probably read chapter 4. I was like, God, I don't know how this fits in today. I get that it's a day to rejoice, okay? But beyond that, I'm not sure how it fits. But I want to read this today and share a few thoughts with you as well. We're going to actually start in verse 4 of chapter 4. And we're going to read through verse 13. So we'll get really close to the end. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying that because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So today kind of put this passage in perspective just a little bit for me. And man, like I'm sure all of you had, we've had our moments. We've got two beautiful, lively young boys. And we were here on Friday night for the service, and we had a really brilliant game plan for us all being able to enjoy that time. Jonathan was going to watch Madagascar in the back. Just perfectly appropriate Good Friday film for a three-year-old. We just were like, anything that will help us get through the service with him occupied. Maria was going to wear Travis, and he loves that. So he'll be happy, and then we can enjoy the time. And it didn't go like that at all. And we were juggling them and trying to fend them off from throwing pretzels at each other and trying to figure out why the sound on the computer decided to stop working completely. Because that's what happens in moments like that. The sound stops working completely. I'm sure it's a Windows thing, but don't remind me of that, you Mac people. And there we were, and we're like trading off, and you go listen to half of that song, and then I'll come back here and take them, and then I'll go listen to the other half, and it was bad. And at the end of the night, we're talking, we're trying to figure out, okay, Sunday's coming, what are we going to do? And she says, all I want to do, I just would love to just celebrate Easter at least. And it didn't quite happen that way today. Maria got sick and really bad this morning, and she's not here. Travis is hanging out with her, hopefully taking good care of her right now. We had a pep talk, so I think everything's good. I took Jonathan and we're here, but it was just, and we prayed and we sang songs and I asked others to pray, and I thought, okay, she's going to be here tonight, and she's not here. And I don't know how else to say it. That's just a bummer. And I was in the room tonight as we were getting ready and just had all kinds of weird feelings because of that, but also because as disappointed as I was, there's something inside of me that was like, tonight I'm going to sing. Tonight I'm going to praise Him. Tonight I'm going to rejoice, and it's not at the cost of Maria being off by herself. I'm disappointed in that, but I'm going to rejoice because Easter is not going to be stopped by someone throwing up at home. Sorry, that's what it was. I wrote her this. When that came to mind for me, if you don't mind, I'll just read this little bit of a text that I sent her, because it dawned on me why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And I said, I really wanted you to be here today. I really wanted us here today together. And I'm not mad at God, though. And I'm definitely mad at the devil, for sure. But he can't win today, because he, Jesus, already has. And I will rejoice today, because we are his forever. And he is ours. Easter is happening today, whether we're in bed, whether we're throwing up, whether we're cleaning up poop, wrangling kids, or trying to figure out what the heck we're going to talk about for an Easter sermon. And I love you because he first loved me. She sent me an emoji with tears. The waterfall ones. And I said, I know. I've been really weepy all day. Actually, I said feeling super weepy, and she said, you or Jonathan? Me. Jonathan's doing great. I'm the one that can't keep it together. And as we read the words of Paul here in Philippians, you realize where he writes these words from. He writes them from prison. He was having a slightly rougher day. Slightly. I'm just thinking, like, did Paul celebrate Easter in prison? Yes, he did, actually. Which is why he's saying, rejoice. Rejoice. He's telling them, in case they've forgotten, as the church, in case we've forgotten, he says, rejoice, because I'm rejoicing. And there's nothing that can stop us from rejoicing when we realize that Jesus is risen. And nothing about our day, nothing about our circumstances, nothing about our life can change that. And in fact, because that's true, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. And so regardless of what happens for us in this life, and this is hard for us as young people who want everything that is coming our way and feel like we deserve it, but regardless of what happens for us in this life, regardless of how this life ends, whether it be amazingly or tragically, it's not the end. And so we can rejoice. And that's what Paul is saying when he says, I have learned the secret. You know what the secret is? The secret is always coming back to the truth that you have a Savior who is risen. And because he is alive, and because you are hidden in him, your life will not end when this one ends. And your circumstances no longer are the final say on how you will be. How you will live, how you will think, what will come out of your mouth. I'm still trying to remember that and figure that one out, but today was a really good glimpse. And in fact, it's the days that don't go the way we plan that are really those opportunities to get the reminder of why we rejoice. Because we don't rejoice because things are going great. That's not why we rejoice if we are his. We rejoice because we are his. It sounds slightly angry, but if you can see the look on my face, I'm happy. For you and for me. I'm happy because Philippians made it in here today. I'm happy because it's true. And if we're not there right now, let this day be the reminder. And it doesn't have to be just today. And it shouldn't be just today. And because he's alive, just continue to tap into that truth. Jesus, you're with me, and you're never going to leave me. And I'm yours, and you're mine. And whatever I'm in the middle of, it's not the end. It's not the end. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. So good. And I thank you that that declaration is not contingent on our circumstances. It's not contingent on our week. It's not contingent on the people around us and how they're treating us. It's not contingent on where our mood is. It's your nature. It's who you are. You're good. And that doesn't change. And I thank you that the greatest evidence, the greatest revelation we have of your goodness is a person, and his name is Jesus. It's a life lived, one that would go and leave the comforts, the confines of heaven, and step into our world and all its brokenness, not shying away from any of it. And in fact, taking on the worst of it. So that we could know you. So that we could know that that is true. That you are a God who is good. You are a God who is love. You are a God who is a good father. And for those of us that have encountered that truth, we have experienced the power of Jesus and his resurrection. God, let that be a reminder. Let that be the well that we tap into. When things are difficult, when life is confusing, when we have more questions than answers, let us tap into the resurrection and find life there, find peace there, find joy there, find comfort and grace and mercy there for today and for the future. And God, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that has not experienced that, God, I thank you that that gift is waiting to be received. It's already been given, and it's waiting to be received. And God, I thank you that there's nothing in the way of that happening. And so I pray if anyone here tonight does not know him, that today you would discover new life, a new beginning because of Jesus. Thank you, God. In your precious name we pray. Amen.